We are on a journey. Christianity is one aspect of Christianity, or a metaphor to be used to describe Christianity, is a journey. It's a journey with God, who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and then said, "Follow me." And then as we follow Him, we move through this world as strangers on our way to our own country, heaven, waiting for us. And so we are on this journey with Jesus, trying to understand His heart, His desire and His will, but also how His kingdom works, because we have been moved from one kingdom to another. And so we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we were kind of starting at the end, and now we are working chronologically through what Jesus said. When in Matthew 7, Jesus, we know it so well, that parable of the wise and the foolish builder. The one who builds his house on the rock and the one who builds his house on the sand. And Jesus said this at the end of a sermon when He said, "But those who hear my words and puts them into practice is like a wise builder. And when the challenges of life came, that house did not fall. But he who simply hears my words and do not put them into practice are like a foolish man. When the challenges of life came, his house was destroyed." And so we are now looking at, what did Jesus say? What did He mean, and how do we put it into practice? So we are working through the Sermon on the Mount, and we are asking ourselves, how do we put this into practice in our lives as we follow Jesus? And so if you are here for the first time, or you've been away for a while, that is really where we're at. And we've started with the introduction of the Sermon on the Mount, and we are now at verse 6. Last week, Pastor Vanner shared on verse 6, but I want us to pause here for a moment longer, because verse 6 is such a pivotal verse in the introduction of an entire sermon. And I also found in my own life and in ministering to others how significant this verse is. So I want us just to pause here for a moment longer and reflect on, what did Jesus say and what did He mean, and how can we make this applicable? How can we apply this and live this in our own lives? So bear with us as we continue with Jesus' words when He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Like I mentioned, this is one of the most important verses in the introduction of Jesus' sermon. And it gives us insight into God's wisdom for Christian living. Also, it gives us direction for life, for counseling, and also discipleship. And part of being discipled by Jesus is to be changed by Jesus to become a fisher of men. So we are all, as we are following Jesus, are going to change to become disciple makers. We start off as disciples and end off as disciple makers. It's part of the process of following Jesus. It doesn't really matter where you're at in your journey with Him. Along the way, you're going to have the privilege to share your life with others. And this I found in counseling and discipling is quite a pivotal concept, truth, that we need to grasp and live. This concept is really a very profound question. What do you hunger and thirst for? What do you really want in life? Because what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you are filled with. Often in life, this hunger and thirst determines the direction and the actions that we make. It's often in life we find ourselves at a T-junction. Even during every single day, we come to this place where I call a T-junction, where we need to decide, what are we going to do? How are we going to react? What decision are we going to make? What action are we going to perform? What response will we give to this challenge that we face? And one of the greatest motivators and determining factors is what you hunger and thirst for. What you hunger and thirst for will help you to decide whether you're going left or right when you face the realities of life. I have seen people navigate through the worst of places because they were hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And they managed to get out of what seems to be impossible, the choices that they need to make. And I've seen, sadly, others who lost their way on this journey because of their hunger and thirst for something else. Matthew 7, Jesus likens this this kingdom and our journey with Him, again, as a journey. He says here, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And so here we're introduced to in a sense, a fork in the road. There's one that's wide and easy and most people are on it. And then there is a narrow gate and a difficult way, a single track that leads to life. One of the core motivators to turn from the broad way to the narrow way is a hunger and thirst for righteousness. As a matter of fact, we were all born on this highway. We were all part of this world. We were all moving in the same direction. Yet, by God's mercy and grace, He reached out to us and says, "I love you. Turn from this way and follow me." And those who choose to do that are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is one of the fundamental requirements of all Christian living, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is a desire to live in a right relationship with God. The world doesn't have it. It doesn't want to live for God and please God. But righteousness is living in a right relationship with God. It is living in a way that pleases God. It is the opposite of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is sin that separates us from God. Righteousness is living according to the way of God that brings us closer to God. And so this desire for righteousness is a desire not to be in sin, to live with sin, but to live for God. A desire ultimately, it's not found in our works, but in a person of Jesus Christ. It's in Him that we find our righteousness and our strength to live for Him. And so righteousness is simply a means to an end. The end is God Himself. And those who hunger and thirst to be with God . Why must we hunger and thirst for it? Because hunger and thirst speaks of an intense desire for something that we do not have. We do not have righteousness of our own. It's something we lack. We try to live for God. We try to live in a way that's pleasing for Him, but we lack it, so we hunger and thirst for it. It's an intense desire, a passionate longing for, a seeking after that determines our priorities and our actions. And It's a need that needs to be filled. That's what hunger is. It's a lack of something. It's hunger is only there when we do not have food. If we eat, we're no longer hungry. But because there is no food, we hunger for it. And we thirst for a drink, which we do not have. I don't know if there's somebody here this morning that is hungry. I mean, are there any teenagers? You're always hungry. Is there a teenager or anybody that is actually hungry this morning? Okay, there's a hand. Who are you? Yes, are you really hungry? I have options for you this morning. Come. As your hunger is, come. I say, let's give him a hand. He's clearly hungry. Well, he's hungry enough to come forward in front of everybody. So I don't know if you're brave or if you're just hungry. Is he really hungry? Okay, snel gou daarvoor. Snel gou daarvoor. What's your name?
John.
John. Okay. Jock. Joel. Excuse Joel. Ek kan nie meer so lekker hoor nie. Okay, Joel, ek het vir jou opsies hierso. He's of a chicken, a roasted chicken and mayonnaise sandwich, of a Cadbury's milk chocolate. So what do you want? What do you really want? What are you hungry and thirsty for? Die in a fight. Well done. You're gonna make it. Majol, die koninkryk werk so as jy die regte keuses maak, you'll be blessed. So you know, the difficult thing in life is what we hunger and thirst for will determine what we're filled with. If you're hungry and thirsty for happiness, it will not fill you to satisfaction. You'll have to come back again and again. You'll have to eat a lot of chocolates. But it will never satisfy you. But what you hunger and thirst for will do, and sometimes it's a difficult decision. It was a difficult decision. My flesh wants chocolate, but I'm actually hungry. I'm actually hungry for food. Ek is lus vir kos, ek is nie lus vir sweets nie. Maar jou lus gaan bepaal wat jy gaan eet. And so that's why God says, you must hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you are filled with. And that will determine whether you are blessed or not. Whether you are happy or not. The question is, what do we hunger and thirst for? Because what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you're filled with. If you hunger and thirst after the things in the world, you will be filled with it, but you will not be blessed, happy. Like 1 John 2 verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desires of the eye and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from this world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Doing the will of God is righteousness. Whoever lives for righteousness will abide forever. He will be blessed. It's like John 6, I often mention it. It's such a pivotal chapter in my life and in ministry I found. Is, you know, when Jesus saw the crowds and they were hungry, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he multiplied it and he fed the people. He gave them food. And there was 12 baskets left over. Everybody had enough. They ate as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, they wanted to make Jesus king by force. They were just so excited about, here is a man that gives us everything we need and everything we want. We want him to be our king because he will deliver us from the Romans and feed us forever. We never ever have to work again. And so we're going to make him king. And Jesus departed from them. Went up in the mountain the next morning or in the night, middle of the night, walked on the sea, got into the boat, got to the other side. And the people were so excited about Jesus, they wanted to make him king by force, looking everywhere for him. And finally, finding him on the other side, they asked him, how did you get here? And Jesus just straight to the point, he said, you didn't come looking for me for who I am. You came looking for me because you ate of the bread and you are full. And I say to you, I am the living bread. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. You are not following me for who I am. You are following me for what I can do for you. And unless you hunger and thirst for me, you have no part in me. Because you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he offended them all. They were hungry and thirsty for their own needs. And you can read that chapter how Jesus plays on the fact that he says, I am the living bread. Your fathers ate the manna and they are dead. But he who feeds on me will never hunger and never thirst. The whole world is seeking after happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. It's the great motivator behind most acts, ambition, striving, and effort. The world thinks it's going to find happiness in different places, in fame and achievement and wealth. And the list goes on and on. But the world never seems to find lasting happiness being blessed. See, here's the challenge. It's the upside down kingdom. The problem is when you seek happiness as the goal, you will not find it. Because according to Scripture, happiness is the result of finding a greater goal. Happiness is the fruit of something other than myself. Something greater than myself. Happiness is the fruit of finding God. If you find Him, you will be happy. You will be blessed. But when we make happiness the goal, you will constantly miss it. Happiness is not meant to be the goal. It is meant to be the fruit of finding God. And so when health, wealth, and happiness becomes the goal, it becomes the reason behind everything we do, and we keep on missing it. And it's not just those outside of the church, but sadly, these things infiltrate the church. And we have the prosperity gospel that's all about your prosperity and your wealth and your health. And if you follow Jesus, you will have all these things. And so all these things becomes the goal of following Jesus. I will give so that I can get. The $100 miracle, you know, give $100 and you will have $1,000. So, but there's limited time. You have to give now. So why are you giving? Are you giving to getting? Well, if you're giving to get, you're going to keep on missing true happiness. And so these things creep into the church and people start making other things the goal. Manifestations and experiences. When these other things becomes the goal, we never find enduring, lasting happiness. It is not the goal, it is the fruit. It is something that happens. Yes, it happens as a result of something else. But when we make the fruit the goal, we never find enduring happiness. And we move from one meeting to the next meeting, hoping in the following meeting we will have again what we experienced in the previous meeting, because we are empty again during the week, so we need to go somewhere again to be filled again. Hoping that we'll find the same joy again. And it doesn't last, and we go from meeting to meeting, because when these things become the goal rather than the fruit, we miss it. We miss lasting happiness. Our goal is not our happiness. Our goal is His righteousness. Being in right relationship with Him. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things it shall be added to you. Get your goal right and the other things will be added to it. God's blessing is the result of seeking first His will and His ways. It is the upside down kingdom. Jesus even said, "If you must lose your life to find it. If you're willing to lose your life for my sake, you will gain eternal life. But if you try to keep it, if you're living for yourself and your desires and what you want, you're going to miss it." So often we have to choose between what we think best according to our own understanding, our own wisdom, and our own desire, and what God declares in His Word. And so we often stand at this T-junction. If we are not hungry and thirsty for His righteousness, we will end up following our own desires. Righteousness is doing the will of God. To be right in a right relationship with God. It is the opposite of unrighteousness, which is sin, and which separates us from God. And without this intense desire for righteousness, a person will not pursue a deeper relationship with God beyond their own comfort. It's like, I will follow you until it's no longer comfortable to follow you, because it's not really about you. I'm hungry and thirsty for my own needs, and you are a means to an end to meet my need. And therefore, I will follow you until it's no longer comfortable. And so therefore, we need to be hungry and thirsty. We need to have intense desire for His righteousness. Otherwise, our own desires will determine our action. And I've sadly seen it, not just outside of the church, but inside the church. And yes, it's painful to lose your life, but if you do for Christ, you will gain it. It's just the upside down kingdom. And I've seen people make that choice and how blessed they become, because they were willing to put Christ before them. Because righteousness is simply a means to an end. This desire for righteousness, it is, the end is God and it's not me. But blessed are you if you find God. You will be blessed. I want to live. I have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to live for God. I want to live in a way that pleases God. But I lack it in myself, so I am hungry and thirsty for it. I don't have it in myself, so I'm hungry and thirsty for righteousness. I'm hungry and thirsty to live for you. I'm hungry and thirsty to be free from sin and the shame and the guilt. I'm hungry and thirsty to live in a way that brings honor to you. And so I have a lack and I need it and I desire it. And God says, blessed are you when you do, because I will fill you. I will give you the desire of your heart. I will send my son to live and die for you, and his righteousness will become your righteousness, and you will be righteous in my sight. And I will send my spirit, and he will change you, empower you to live for me, and his fruit will bring glory to me, and I will fill you, and you will be blessed. You will be blessed, but you must hunger and thirst for it. Otherwise, you'll go after other things. I'm poor in spirit. I mourn my weakness and sin, and I admit in humility that I cannot get this right. And so I'm hungry and thirsty for you, your ways. God, blessed are you. I will fill you. I will satisfy you. And you will be blessed. If you desire righteousness, God says, I will fill you. And you will not just be satisfied. You will be happy and blessed when I fill you. I don't know if any of you have ever, I mean, many of you have, so, but if you fasted for more than a day, or you skipped a meal, you only had the small breakfast and day was so busy and it's getting late at night and you are hungry. Who have you ever been hungry? You know? It's like fasting for a day. You are hungry for food. Like a three-day fast, you know, the worst of any fast is the first 3 days. When you fast without food, you are hungry at day three. I remember my longest fast was 10 days, just water. And the first 3 days was the worst, but then it actually gets easier. Your body kind of adjusts and your mind has figured out where you're not going to get food. So it kind of starts to compensate and it's quite effective. And it was fine until day 9. When the morning of day 10 arrived, it was the worst. Because the only thing I could think of is food. I'm going to break the fast today. Tonight, we're going to break the fast. And that whole last day, I was just consumed by food. I just can't wait to eat. I'm hungry and thirsty for it. And it consumed my mind. And I remember, I didn't break it with a soppy. No, it's going to be pizza. Salami and cars and mushrooms and everything. I want pizza. And I remember sitting with my friends in this restaurant and we were praying. And we say, Lord, thank you. We were full of joy. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be full tonight. And taking that first bite, I still remember it was the best pizza of my life. That salami, that cheese, it was just the flavors. It was just amazing. And every time when we break like a three-day fast, you know, that soup that we have here, it's just, everybody always comments, it's just amazing. And I know, it's just been 3 days without food. It is nice soup, yes, but it's really nice food if you haven't eaten for 3 days. It's just like hunger is the best chef, isn't that what they always say? If you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, God says you will not just be filled, you will be happy and blessed. Will be happy and blessed. I have discovered that if I remain hungry and thirsty every day for more of God, I get filled every day with more of Him. If you fill yourself with chocolates and chips and puddings before dinner, parents, what happens? The kids don't eat the food. So don't eat the chips and the cookies now. Because the food is coming. So don't hunger and thirst after the stuff in the world and fill yourself with it. It will ruin your appetite. If you fill yourself with junk, it will ruin your appetite for what is good and will make you blessed. So continue to hunger and thirst for God, for more. And He will fill you every day. You will take a bite every day and it will be amazing because you want more. God said, you want more of me? I'll give you more. God meets us at our point of desire, of hunger and thirst. And so I want to encourage you, hunger and thirst for Him every day. And you will be satisfied every day. You will come before Him every day and say, God, I want more of You. I want to be free from this sinful world and life. I want more of You. And God says, yes, I will give You more of Me. I've forgiven you. I've set you free. And you will experience the same joy you did the very first time when you come to Him hungry and thirsty every morning. And life will not be from event to event, but from day to day, moment to moment with God. It's like David says in Psalm 42, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before You? I want to encourage you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for Him. For you will be satisfied. For He rewards those who diligently seek after Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And the joy of the Lord will become your strength. The joy of the Lord is being in His presence every day. How do we grow in this hunger and thirst? How are we satisfied? It's spending time in His Word and in prayer in His presence. If you hungry and thirst for more of God, you don't just read the Word, but you study the Word, you listen, you think about it. You I want to know, like Moses prayed, Lord, teach me Your ways that I may know You. I want to know more. I want to discover something new of You, of Your desire, of Your way of life. I want to see where You lead, Jesus. Go before me. Show me Your ways. I want to follow You. Read and pray and then live it. Live it. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed. So let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning that we can come to the feet of Jesus and just sit with You and hear You. Lord, I pray that we will not just hear You, but we will consider Your words. Because we are hungry and thirsty, Lord. We are poor in spirit. And only You have the words of eternal life. Forgive us, Lord, for sometimes filling ourselves with junk. And not with You. that stills our hunger with all kinds of other things. When it's actually you that we need. Lord, I pray this morning that we will just take this moment and just unpack our bags of all the stuff that we try to fill our hunger with. Just empty our bags of those things. Just look at you again. Say, Lord, we want to eat of the living bread, of your ways, of your thoughts. So I'm going to give you an opportunity where you are seated, just to speak to the Lord in your own words, just whatever has stood out for you in the sermon, Holy Spirit has spoken to you, just take this time and just respond to Him in your own words. While all the eyes are closed, now maybe you're here this morning and you realize you've not been hungry and thirsty for Him. But you want to turn from this broad way. You want to go through this narrow gate, the single track off the highway. You want to give your life to Him and follow Him. If that is you this morning, you want to give your life to God. I want you just to raise your hand, just where you're seated. Just raise your hand and say, God, here I am. Lord, I want to give you my life. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Lord, I thank you for those who are responding right now. Lord, thank you that your invitation is for whosoever. And you respond to those who call on your name, and whoever does will be saved. And your righteousness will be theirs. Their sin, their guilt, their shame is taken away. As far as the east is from the west, and it is replaced with another garment. Pure white, the holiness of God Himself clothed you today. Say, you are free, forgiven. You are righteous, justified. You are mine now. And I am yours. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Follow me. And for those of us who've been following you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that from today on, Lord, we will continue to hunger and thirst first for you, for your kingdom and your righteousness. And thank you, God, that you are the only one that will satisfy us. We want more of you, God. So we ask for more of you, a hunger and thirst for you. Make us hungry and thirsty, Lord, not for this world, but only for you. Help us not to be satisfied with anything but you. We ask this, Lord, and we thank you for it. in Jesus' name. For some of you, there's a T-junction. Maybe you are here today. We have a Baptist pool full of water. Baptism is a powerful act of absolute surrender, not to your ways, to your culture, to your parents, to your friends. It's an absolute surrender where I say, God, I'm going to follow you your way. Jesus came as the Son of God. He had no sin, no need for forgiveness, but he came to be the second Adam, the last Adam, to pave the way for the rest of humanity. And he came to John to be baptized. And John said, I know who you are. How should I baptize you? You must baptize me. And John and Jesus said, no, this is not God's way. I want you to baptize me so that we can fulfill all righteousness. And for some of you, it's a step of fulfilling all righteousness. So we have a pool. Is there anyone who wants to come? You can just put up your hand if it's you. Is there anyone here today? Okay. Well, it's still there for a while. I'm going to dismiss the meeting, and if you're in need of prayer, we're going to be here in front, and please, we'd love to pray with you. If you want to recommit your life, if you have a need, if you're struggling, we'd love to pray with you. Thank you so much for coming, and God bless you with more hunger and thirst for him. And may you be filled, satisfied, and blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. See you next week.